Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with my buddy Alfonso Rachel, and this is the Virtue Signal, where we try to get into the morality and the philosophy behind the politics. So we've seen something kind of interesting and really encouraging, too, in the last couple of weeks. We've seen, started with Coca-Cola, where it leaked that their diversity training, essentially centered around making white people feel absolutely miserable. Try to be less white was the quote that came out of the Coca-Cola thing. And then we saw it more recently with Disney, where Disney is running the same kind of thing and basically saying to the white employees, not only do you need to be ashamed of everything that ever happened in the universe, but furthermore, it's your obligation to go up and make this right with the people of color on the Disney team. And that leaked out. But the thing that's interesting to me is this. Once it got out, Coke had to walk it back fast. And just today I saw that Disney has removed this, at least this is the report, that Disney, facing the same kind of blowback, has removed it from their employee curriculum. So the thing I would like to talk about today is, it's kind of amazing how much evil goes away when good people decide to fight back.
Man, it's a woke world after all.
Yeah. Little Palestinians throwing rocks, and little Iranians with little suicide belts. It's a woke world after all. Yeah,
yes.
It's a miserable woke world after all. But it doesn't have to be.
Right, a miserable woke world, man. And these people, wanting to have a woke and a smile. I remember the days when we could just have a Coke and a smile. And, the irony is, Bill, is that, these people at the Coca-Cola company and Disney and the folks are running Disney, the white people that they're so sick of are liberals. These are the people that they're surrounded by. It's like, look, man, this is your sphere of influence. This is your scope of what you guys are like looking at this stuff through. And that's why I try to tell conservatives, like, hey, when these people try to say that there's white privilege and systemic racism and all that sort of stuff, say, yeah. And we know exactly where it's coming from. It's them Democrats that you guys keep being so loyal to,
And keep electing.
Right. When I tell conservatives, to go with this, like, look, man, this is not an admission of guilt. I'm not at all telling you to accept any sort of guilt that they're putting on you. Just agree with them and say, yes, now that you got their attention, I agree with you. Let me show you where it's actually coming from. Let me show you where it's been coming from. Right. So that way you go ahead and you start defanging the snake. Right. That's what we want to try to do, is take these people's weapons away from them. So with Disney and I guess they're also getting a taste of that punitive free market. It's like, as opposed to trying to force this by public policy, it's like, man, you go ahead and try to do that and watch what the free market's going to do to you. So in doing that, I'm hoping that a contingency will show. It's like, look, man, this happened to you not because we're a bunch of racists, but because we are sick of your race baiting narrative. And we know, Democrats, what you're trying to do. You did this in the 1800s. You got people obsessed about race. You rebelled against the U.S. Constitution, drafting your own Constitution of the Confederate States. You were rebels then. You're rebels now. We see what you're trying to do, and we're going to punish you in the free market for this.
Yeah, and it's funny, because I did a Moving Back to America show just yesterday, called, as we record this, called Loving the Armband, and it talked about a really in-depth study of the destruction of European Jews, and it said that once they'd gotten to the point where they were in the ghetto, which means they've been brutalized and oppressed for 10 years, they would actually, when the Germans would say you have to wear a star, they'd kind of be like lined up to get the star, because they wanted what this author called was anticipatory compliance. They wanted to show people. They wanted to show the Germans that they were good ones. You don't have to worry about us. It's a survival mechanism, psychological survival mechanism. And a lot of these executives that bring these programs in there are, I think, fully aware that if it gets out, it's going to hurt their business. But they do it because if they don't do the diversity stuff, they are not in anticipatory compliance with their, forget the woke mob, they're not complying with the people that they go to cocktail parties with. Everybody knows that a good progressive is somebody who does mandatory gender identification training and mandatory racial awareness training. That's what good liberals do. And so they comply with this. And I think most executives are aware of the fact that that this is going to hurt their business. They certainly should be aware of it now. We watch Coke roll it right back, and then we watch Disney roll it right back, but they only rolled it back the second it became public, which makes me wonder why it wasn't public in the first place. And and now we get to kind of the heart of what I'm talking about here. When there are so many people who are supposedly terrified of the woke mob, but whenever anybody stands up to the woke mob, they're not only not punished, they're like incredibly rewarded. Was it Goya Beans or something that AOC made some comment on, and their sales went up by a factor of six or something? They named her Employee of the Year. Yeah. And it makes me wonder how many data points we're going to have to see before not just business owners and not just liberal corporate executives, but before Americans realize that that all of the power that the left has over us, all of the power that they're using to destroy this country, is power that we give to them. We give it to them. It's the power of our own fear of being called names that we don't like, or our own fear of having somebody say something bad about us on Facebook. And you can destroy a person's career. It's not quite that trivial. But ultimately, it's all about the power that we give them. And when people fight back, they stop.
Indeed. And folks, you know, have to understand that it's a fight that we're always going to have. You know, the chaos shouldn't grow this much, but there's always going to be this chaos. Man, it's like an engine, man. An engine, and I talk about this stuff in my audiobook, A Solid Right Cross. You know, it's like, in order for life to go on, there's going to be a degree of friction. You know, an engine runs
waste heat.
Right? Yep. You know, it runs at a nominal degree of heat, but you don't want it to overheat. But it's going to take some heat. You know, and but the thing is, and that's just something that we're going to have to endure. And these freedoms and these liberties, they're going to have to be maintained. You know, that's just the way that it is. But, you know, with these people who are in there, all they're proven, Bill, is that, you know, they do believe, not only do they believe that there's white supremacy, but I guess they unwittingly believe that they are the white supremacists. We are the superior ones. We're morally superior. We're even better than other white people. We're the bestest white people, right? So it's in order for us, and it's the condescension of saying, in order for you to be equal to us, we have to step down from our superiority. We're going to do this
exactly.
This self-effacing exercise of showing that we can be little people just like you. It's like, dude, give me a break.
And yeah, people, get over yourself.
Thank you, man. Get over yourself. And you know, it's this, it's like a mass Stockholm syndrome that they're under this oppression of this guilt phantom that they have. And they'll do these things because this idea is they're still beholden to the idea that they're superior. And this ideology that they have, I guess at the end of the day, it means even more to them than money. I see that a lot. It's like, man, why do you guys do is you guys know that it doesn't benefit the people that you say that you're helping. It may benefit you. And even at the end of the day, you're still going to have your cushy jobs and stuff like that. Despite all this, this will blow over. And you guys will find another. You're Disney. You're very creative people. You'll find another way to cycle this again. You know, but like I said, though, it seems like ideology itself even means more than, I guess, the money.
Yeah, and that's the part I couldn't figure out until just a couple days ago. I couldn't figure out why they would do this if they knew they were going to take such a big financial hit and public relations hit and brand damage hit. But they keep doing it, and I realized that the reason they do it is because as progressives, if they don't do it, that means that they're Trump-supporting racists, and that means that all of their friends abandon them and they lose their identity. It's a form of death. If you can't show that you're a good liberal— then that means you're obviously a Trump-supporting Nazi, and your identity is gone. You are essentially killed in an emotional sort of way. But what you're talking about before is exactly right. It's this whole thing about we got to teach white people to not be so domineering and get over their supremacy. It's an indication of this inferiority complex. I kind of call it the Dances with Wolves avatar, dynamic, right? So you get these two movies, the same story basically. And the people telling the story want you to think that this is about how much we love and respect the Indians or how much we love and respect the Navi. But what it's really saying is that they're utterly helpless until a white man comes along and teaches them how to fight other white men. That's the only way they can win. You know, they can't be warriors on their own. They can't achieve this on their own. It takes the white savior to come down and save them from white oppression. And this is the entire dynamic now of the progressives. If you can't own people, then at least you can make them beholden to you. At least you can make them dependent on you. Pretty nearly the same thing when you take it to its logical extreme, which has been happening for 30 or 40 years now. If you can convince people, mostly in the inner cities, but this goes to any kind of people who are completely on government subsidies. If you can convince people that their only way of surviving is by government handouts, which means voting for them, you own them about as effectively as you owned anybody on a slave plantation. And by the way, when people talk about, well, we want guaranteed housing and we want guaranteed food and we want guaranteed clothing, we want guaranteed transportation. That's pretty much the definition of a slave, right? Mm-hmm. It really is. I'm not trying to sell slavery here. On the contrary, the entire mission of this place is to destroy this slave mentality. But this is part of it. Whenever these people go into a corporation and start spreading this message of white supremacy has got to be abolished, you're talking to people, you're talking to well, anyway, the white people you're talking to are looking at you and saying, I wasn't aware that I was practicing any white supremacy. I just thought we were kind of individuals kind of getting along. They're bringing this dynamic into a situation, again, causing division and pain and heartache and all of this, again, so that they can move the lever of political power and financial gain for themselves, which is not insignificant for the people that run these so-called training seminars.
Indeed, man. And it's the benefit to it, to keep this thing going. And this thing is always going to go. It's always going to go on. And I don't mean to sound pessimistic here, but the
bottom. No, but it's human nature. You got to mow the grass, man. Yeah. The second you put the lawnmower away, the grass starts growing again.
Yes.
And you got to mow the lawn.
Right, right. As long as this translates to money, votes, or even the reward of feeling that you're a better person because you're a...
That's the main thing right there. That's the driver, man. No, you're on it. That's the power source.
Yes. If you can get that thrill, then hey, you know, this stuff is going to keep on going. And we have to be, you know, innovative and aware ourselves. Like we keep saying, Bill, freedom isn't free. It costs. It's going to cost us every day, you know, and there are certain responsibilities that we're going to have to take to get in the way of these people all the time because they're scheming. Evil don't sleep. So we don't get to sleep either.
That's right.
You know, but that's the thing. We keep talking about being the sleeping giant. So why is the giant always sleeping? Right. We talk about being the silent minority. I mean, the silent majority. Yeah. Well, there's a noisy minority. So we can't keep talking about these things. There's things that have to be done. There's this due diligence that has to be done. We don't just get to enjoy, you know, our freedom. We don't just, you know, get to do that. It has to be maintained.
That's exactly right. And now we're on, I think, something good to close with. Mm. It is crystal clear to me that we give the left all of the power that they have. Mm. We give them the power over us with the thing we talked about on the last show with the underdog syndrome and the victimhood and all the rest. We empower them. Mm. And we sit around and watch the country being destroyed and we say, my God, you know, why doesn't somebody do something about it? Mm. Well, the cold hard facts, folks, is that the reason the country's being destroyed is because of the cowardice of the American people. It's not physical cowardice. It's something much rarer than that. It's physical courage is a good quality, but moral courage is the rare quality. In other words, we sit here and lament all of this, but none of us are willing to, few of us are willing to stand up to it because we don't want the opprobrium, we don't want the mess and the headache. And that's just plain cowardice. It's all there is to it. We would just rather not deal with it. We would rather not stand up. We would rather not say, first of all, I'm not a Nazi, and secondly, just piss off. All right. Just go to hell. I don't need this anymore, and I'm not going to take it, and you don't get to define who I am. There's very few people that are willing to stand up and do that, and that is our responsibility. The entire theme of the show today is when people stand up and fight back, they fold. They just utterly fold, instantly fold. And so you have to ask yourself, if your enemy just runs the second you show up with a rifle, and nevertheless, you watch your country being invaded and destroyed and overrun, what does that tell you? It tells me that I'm not showing up with enough rifles enough times. That's what it tells me. And this is the lesson. The lesson is that nobody wants this stuff. It's the social proof story of the emperor's new clothes. Everybody puts up with it because they assume that everybody else is putting up with it, and they therefore send a signal of compliance to everybody else. And it's time to have moral courage for this country. And the moral courage is the moral courage to stand up and say, this is nonsense. It's utter bilge. It's got to go. Call me what you want to. I don't care. That's the kind of courage that it takes now to save this country, because these people aren't coming at us with guns. They're coming at us with Facebook and Twitter. And if you haven't figured that out yet, you know, you got some catching up to do.
Indeed, man. And with that courage, it's also the courage to get up off of some of that money. All right. And it's because.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's right. Take some losses. Absolutely.
Let's just get down to it. And thank God for, the viewers of your channel who are supporting. They understand. It's like, look, man, we need a cultural front. We don't have a cultural defense. Right. We talk about being pro-defense and all that sort of stuff. It can't just be, don't get me wrong, man, because I got no issues. I'm an advocate of the Second Amendment. However, the First Amendment is being used to erode the Second. I hope folks can understand that. We could talk about the Second Amendment protects the First, but the First Amendment is being used to erode the Second. It's being perverted to erode the Second.
That's right. The First Amendment is the battlefield. It's not the Second Amendment.
Right.
They're not coming at us with guns.
Right.
They're coming at us with ideas.
Yes.
It's a First Amendment fight. And for those people who say, well, we've got our guns, so we'd have to fear the government, if we lose the First Amendment fight, you won't have a chance to fight the Second Amendment fight, because they're never coming for your guns.
Yes.
What they're going to do is tell enough of these lies so that your grandchildren voluntarily turn your guns into the government so they can get the pat on the head.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen.
Yes. The pat on the head, man. And that gets right down to the nitty gritty, don't it? You know, because when we were talking about like this feel goodism, people want to be made to feel like they're morally superior and they feel good about it. You know, while doing, it's weird that people want to feel good about doing evil things. They're made to think that these evil things that they're doing are not evil. You know, but these things have to be represented in the culture. When people say that we have to take action, God forbid, Bill, I'd hate to think that the only action that we're going to take is all of a sudden we're just going to take to the streets with guns and start shooting people because we don't
it's
like
not
their,
gonna happen.
You know, and plus that when you have these people who are in control of our communications, I mean, if you want to be able to fight a battle, you're going to be able to need to communicate. Well, these people, they're the gatekeepers of our industries of communication. So it's not necessarily a battle that I'm looking forward to getting into. I don't care how well I can shoot, you know, so can we start making the defense and representing the culture? And because right now what we're doing, Bill, we can reason with folks. We got an audience. They're wired for reason, and thank God for that. We can talk to them. But there's a lot of people out there, that's not a language that they speak. And I'm not judging these people, because I used to be one of them.
No, of course, of course. It's almost impossible if you're not born with somebody who's got conservative values or religious values or whatever kind of values. If you're just kind of born into the flow, it's virtually impossible to come to this place given the magnitude of the loudspeakers out there.
Right, right. But you know, and I think you yourself were there too, right? We were one of them. So we can't say that, oh, there's no hope for these people and it's pointless to do. We've seen the formula. We know how it works, right? Now I'm not going to sit here and say that, well, it was this specific thing. It was a number of things. And a number of things are what the left does. They're in everything, right? They've got their tentacles in all sorts of stuff. And for us, we have AM radio, Fox News, you know, we have these talking heads. And I'm not judging. I'm one of them. I'm a talking head, right? Mm-hmm. But if we could take these reasonable ideas and put them in vehicles right? Where you can reach these people the way that they're being reached and spellbound and lied to.
Yeah, put them in a box that they want to open.
Yes. That, now, people, when people are talking about, when are we going to take some action? It's like, well, there's your battle plan. Start demanding. We're supposed to be the party of supply and demand. Well, start demanding it. Show the demand that you want the supply of us getting out there and doing these compelling and creative works to capture these people's imagination, get them out of their victim mentality, and start realizing and stop not being the people that the word talks about who don't know good from bad, who don't know light from dark, who don't know their behind from their head, who don't know man from tran. Come on, man. Let's get the perspective set straight here.
Absolutely right. I used to be an armed American citizen until Joe Biden was inaugurated, and then I lost all my weapons in a tragic boating accident. And I suspect that's probably happened to a lot of Americans. They just went overboard, and I have no idea where they went. But in all seriousness, we think of Second Amendment rights and whatever firearms we have as weapons. But really, in the fight that we're in, our guns are not weapons. They're shields. They're shields. The arming of the American population preemptively prevents the government from coming at us with force. It has accomplished its mission in that regard. But what we're not facing is we don't understand now that because the Second Amendment has in fact and will continue to protect us from armed force from the government. No government's going to come after the American people with guns. We got more guns than they do. We got more people too. It's served its function. It continues to serve its function. It's an important function. We need to maintain it. But they're not idiots. They sound like idiots, but they're not. They understand that there's no way for the government or any – it's just not on the table. And so what they're doing is they are no longer fighting in the Second Amendment zone. They're no longer fighting with actual weapons as they did in Nazi Germany and in communist Russia and communist China. No, no, no. Second Amendment has saved us from that. It's a First Amendment fight now. Now it's a fight about ideas. And it's a fight where the adversary says we cannot defeat an armed population. So instead of trying to go and take their guns, which we will fail at, why don't we convince them or their children or their children's children to just hand them over to us? So here we sit at BillWhittle.com and on the Virtue Signal and shows like all of this stuff. We are First Amendment warriors that are fighting this battle of ideas, and we need your help. So if you think any of this makes sense, we'd love to have you join us. You can become a member at BillWhittle.com. You can click on the one-time donation button if you don't want to set up recurring payments or anything. But programs like this are made possible by people who understand where the fight is, and they're giving us the ammunition to do what we can in this fight, and the more ammunition we have, the more we can do. Anything you want to add to that before we wrap it up?
It sounds good to me, man. I think with this conversation, we saved the world.
No. Well, I think so, too.
Or we
but
helped.
I thought that quite a long time ago. Thank God for me. Where would the planet be without me to save it? I think I want to vote for Joe Biden. That'll do it for this edition of the Virtue Signal. It's made possible by the members here at BillWhittle.com, to whom we are very, very grateful, especially the new ones that came on to allow us to bring Alfonso Rachel to you a couple times a week. And so until next time, for my friend Alfonso Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle. We'll see you next time right here on the Virtue Signal.